It seems that this morning the bringing together the first reading in the gospel text is to make it abundantly clear to us how it is that Jesus fulfills the promises of old. David, who has this inspiration that he will build a house for God, gets schooled, you might say, in which God, through the prophet, reminds David of all that God has done for David. David, you haven't been doing things for me. All of your life, I have been doing things for you in accordance, in continuity with this me blessing you. I'm going to bless you in another way. This kingdom that you have established through me will last forever in an heir that I will raise up. And this heir is not just going to be an ordinary heir. He will be a son to me. It's very interesting. David has a simple desire, and God reveals to him his desire to be fulfilled in David. In the gospel text today, the angel Gabriel confirms the fulfillment of this in Jesus Christ. The baby to be born of Mary, he will be a son of David, in the lineage of King David. And the Lord will establish for him a kingdom that will not end. Kingdoms end when the king dies. What happens when the king is resurrected from the dead and dies no more? The kingdom is forever in Jesus Christ. There you go. That's the homily for today. I shouldn't say it like that because you guys would be like, Father could be in sarcastic, you know. That is the fulfillment of the prophetic word. We see it fulfilled. But what does it remind us? What does it call forth from us to do? Just as Nathan the prophet in the words of God had to remind David of all that God had done for him, there are times in our celebration that we are to be a people that remembers the past. Our past is not just our past. Our past is Ancient of Days. Our past is the history of Israel. We as a people, the Gentile nations, who draw their salvation forth from the people of Israel in Jesus Christ, we are a tree that is grafted to these ancient roots. It is forth from those ancient roots, the prophetic words of old, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that we are blessed. When we speak of blessings for us, we speak about grace entering into our life. My brothers and sisters, grace comes into our life through Jesus Christ. And our access to that grace, you know, I mean, if you were trained in the Baltimore Catechism, you know, I said, well, what is the source of grace for us? We say, the sacraments of the church. I'm sure you would say it in a more eloquent and fearful way because of the sisters drilling it into you. But the sacraments of the church, they draw forth from what Jesus has done. The sacraments are not somehow disconnected from the actions of Jesus. The sacraments, we declare, were instituted by him. It is through his actions in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, that grace comes to us. Just as Nathan the prophet was inviting David to think of the past and to remember God's faithfulness, we as a people, as a Christian people, are called to remember and celebrate. To remember and celebrate Jesus and what he has done. In the remembrance, in the celebration, the grace is now present to us. Too many times we get myopic in our vision. We can only see the present moment, and we become, when we put the blinders up to the past and to the future, and we simply look at the present moment. It's funny because it's actually causing my sound to close in. When we close in like this, we can become terribly ripped from our foundation. Because our foundation is not this. Our foundation draws its roots from the past. And when we only look at the present moment, we can become so disoriented, so fearful, so distraught, so angry at God. What are you doing? Have you forgotten us? God can say to us, it is not me who has forgotten you, it is you who have forgotten me and everything that I have done for you and the faithfulness of old. Too many times, my brothers and sisters, we want to limit our story of history to our life. Even this is too short. Even this is unrealistic. Your story that began on the day that you were conceived in your mother's womb is not the totality of your story. You were grafted into a greater story of redemption and salvation. You cannot understand your life as a believer separate from the life of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the two. Because our life as a believer draws its grace from his life and the life and the story of the church. The church drawing her grace into the present moment for 2,000 years from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must be a people of memory. We must be a people that remember. Do you realize, like, it's kind of funny, our church calendar. We spend the whole year remembering things of the past, don't we? Whole year thinking about the past. Why? Because it is the celebration of the past and the event and the victory of Jesus Christ that brings hope to the present moment. Not just hope, but grace and salvation and transformation and conversion. We don't do our rites in the church to somehow magically draw grace from nothingness. All of our rites in the church all draw their roots from what Jesus has done. And it brings what he has done to the present moment. And so therefore, my brothers and sisters, our rites as a church, our celebration, the sacraments, and what they are doing is celebrating and rejoicing in the memory of what God has done. This is what makes us a church and believers. It is very important in this time. It is always important, but it is very important in this time that we not lose the vision of everything that has come before. Because our life has radically changed. The conditions of our life, I mean, the story, your story, I mean, how many people are here? Every single one of your stories is different and unique. And the challenges and the crosses that you have carried and throughout all of that. But even your story, my brothers and sisters, can only be properly understood as a believer when it is grafted to the story of Jesus Christ. And made this point in a homily, gosh, I have no idea how long ago it was now with all the COVID stuff. I can't even think of how months ago. If we don't begin to celebrate the deep treasure of grace that is ours, of what has happened to us, the events of the present moment will knock us off our horse. What do I mean by that? I mean that I cannot, and you know, it's public knowledge, my dad passed away, it's a little bit over a month ago, right? If I only focused on the death of my father and did not understand the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, my life could be in complete shambles right now. But because of what Jesus Christ has done for my dad and for myself, knowing that I will see my father again face to face in the living, because of what Jesus has done, has kept me on my horse. It has kept me operating and moving forward because of the truth of what has taken place. When is the last time that you thought about the fundamental gifts that have been given to you in Jesus Christ and simply relished in that reality? We love the people that we are around. But as Christmas draws closer, my brothers and sisters, there's very few children here. Christmas is not for little kids. It's for us. And when Christmas comes around and we start feeling the sadness of people that we love that are no longer with us, and we look at that little baby wrapped in strips of cloth and swaddling clothes in the manger, we see Jesus preparing for his death. You don't tell that to little kids, right? You're like, ooh, we're not thinking about death and dying. Here's a present. You know, someday you will at Christmas time. Someday you will start thinking about these things and missing people and longing. I love the sad Christmas carols, right? It's always, there's a sadness to it. But there is joy. Why? Because Jesus is victorious. Have we thought about the fundamental gifts that have been given to us? Do we remember them? Do we celebrate them? Do we celebrate the fact of eternal life? That before Jesus, everybody you loved would be separated from you forever in your death. And you would be separated from the source of life and love forever.
Great message, Father.
But if we don't understand the truth of what we were destined for, we will not understand and be able to celebrate with joy the new victory that is now ours. Right? How can you celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ if you don't understand or remember what we were saved from? You will have no context. You'll be like, well, it's always been here. It's always been a part of my life. I don't really appreciate it because we just always have had it, right? When you have stuff, you've never not had it. You just don't really appreciate it well. Now is the time. Get the example from the readings of God saying to David, remember the past, David. Remember everything that I have done for you. You need to be, David, a man of rejoicing and gladness. Because your life is filled with blessing, because you are a man after my own heart and I have blessed you. You should be the most joyful of kings, the most merciful of kings, the most grateful of kings. Why? Because I have blessed you beyond measure. I have been merciful and compassionate to you beyond measure. As a church, my brothers and sisters, we have to remember what we were saved from, in order to be able to fully celebrate and rejoice in what we are saved to now in Jesus Christ. We cannot forget the past. And even if our own memories of our life is somehow we can't remember or grasp and stuff like that, that's okay. Because your life is connected to the life of the church in Jesus Christ. That's what we read day after day in the scriptures to remind us of who we are in Jesus. And the reason why we should be the most grateful of people, the most joyful of people. Not because of the present situation. Not because everything seems in your life to be perfect and wonderful. Because for a lot of us, that's not the case. But we should be the most joyful of people, not because of what the people can see around us, but because our life is grafted into the salvific reality of Jesus Christ. That is your Christmas gift. And brothers and sisters, we have so much to be grateful for. Do we take the time to remember what God has done for us, to bring that gratitude to the present moment? Because the present moment can be very hard and very difficult. If we can remember God's faithfulness and the magnitude of what he has done and his faithfulness in huge things, we can have hope in the little things of the present moment. So if you're looking in your stocking for the great gift of Jesus Christ, the great gift of Jesus Christ doesn't fit in your stocking, my brothers and sisters. It is so much greater than that. I don't even think you can wrap it. It's so great a gift. If we look in our stocking for the blessing of being a believer in Jesus Christ, it won't be there. It is so much greater. So this is who we are to be. People that remembers God's faithfulness and the great blessing that has been given to us in him. It is this that allows us in the present moment to be a people of hope. No matter what the conditions are, for better, for worse, for sickness, for poor, health, riches, poor. None of that defines our heart. It is the great gift of salvation that defines who we are as a people. And if we cling to that and remember that, then we will be a people of joy and peace in the midst of the world that has no foundation, no bearing. The midst of a world that is in panic and in fear. We are not to be that people. We are to be a people of praise and gratitude to God. We are to be a people of salvation in him. Amen.